Good morning, everybody. How are you today? Okay, the 9 o'clock people I let off early, easy, like that was really weak. I was an inner city pastor for 8 years. I need a little more call and response here. Good morning. All right, you had till 11 to get ready for that, so you should be ready to go. Okay, my name's Kyle Magstadt. I work for the Christian Missionary Alliance. I was a church planter in St. Paul for 8 years. I've been overseeing our church planting efforts for the district, which covers all of Minnesota and the eastern half of the Dakotas for the last 6.5 years. We have launched 15 new environments, some of those being church plants, some coffee shops, some other things, and God's been so good to us. I'm going to highlight just one quick one before I start, and we have our first church that meets entirely in American Sign Language in Detroit Lakes. And through my work there, I was given a name sign. So I want to just say, I'm Kyle. My hair used to be longer, and they started calling me Kyle. So good morning. It's been fun to be with them. I live in Roseville. My wife's on staff at a church in Alliance Church in Roseville, so my wife is down there. They're probably just wrapping up their service right now. We just had our anniversary. We've been married for 16 years, and we got two little kiddos. We've got June, who's 10, and all that a 10-year-old girl is, June is that times 10. Like, that's my girl. And we have our son, who's 8. His name's Elmer, which is my grandpa's name. I love the name Elmer. My wife calls him Elm. I go with Elmer. He goes with Elmer. My wife hates it because she's Norwegian, so she really likes the Elm name. But, you know, we'll see. He gets to decide at this point. So today I'm going to share with you a little bit about church planting, but primarily about a posture that every church planter takes that you need to wrestle with from Scripture. And that is the posture of listening to God, discerning what God says, which just means like figuring out, am I hearing this right, am I not? And then obeying what God says, doing the things he asks you to do. So we're going to look at two stories from the life of the book of Moses. And I'm just going to warn you, there is going to be a quiz. Say, there will be a quiz. Okay, when I was a church planter, I was a part-time teacher. I'm okay with the awkward silence. I'm going to ask you a question after the two stories, okay? We're going to have back and forth. You're going to speak. I'm a guest, so you need to make it easy for me, right? Like, this is Minnesota. We're hospitable. So make it easy for me. We're going to do the back and forth thing. Good? Okay, so this is from the life of Moses. This is after the Israelites had left Egypt, where they had been enslaved, and they were on their way to the promised land. And the same thing happens twice, about 40 years apart, and that is they had no water to drink. How many of you have ever been really thirsty? How many of you have been, you know, we know what, like, if you're really hungry, they call it like hangry, right? There isn't a word for that with thirsty, but that's what the Israelites are here. So let me read for you the first stories from Exodus 17, 1 through 7. The question I'm going to ask you, I'm going to tell you right now, is what are the similarities in these two stories? Okay, so pay attention. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, Go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out from it for the people to drink. Moses did this in sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" All right, the second story, very similar. To me, it feels like that old Bill Murray movie Groundhog Day, where you're doing the same thing twice. How many of you know that movie? If you're too young for that movie, I think it's appropriate, but maybe not. I don't know. I should have previewed it before I said it. That's how it feels, the same thing twice. But it's the same leaders, but it's a different group of people. This is like 40 years later, and they've been wandering for 40 years. And this is what it says in Numbers 1 through 13. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into the wilderness that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there's no water to drink." Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell face down. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will pour out water." He said, "Speak to the rock, and it will pour out water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so that they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm, and he struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." These were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord and where he was proved holy among them. Okay, quiz time. I don't have any prizes. I'm just telling you that now. What are some similarities? What's one similarity? They both, people were quarreling, yes. All right, another similarity. You gotta say it loud. There were thirsty people. Yep, what else? There was a rock in both stories. And what came out of the rock in both stories? Water. The first time, let me talk to you now about some differences. The first time because of Moses' obedience. The second time because of God's faithfulness in spite of Moses' disobedience. Here's the other difference, and it's a difference that I'm wrestling with, is God asked Moses to do something different. Isn't that strange? Think about it. Same people, Israelites, it was their fathers and sons, you know, it was like the next generation, but same people, same leaders, same problem. There was a rock there. And yet the first time God said, "Strike the rock." And the second time God said, "Speak to the rock." Same God, right? Able to provide. So I was wrestling with this. Why would God take the virtually identical situation and ask Moses to do something different? Isn't that strange? And these are some of the conundrums we come up with when we start looking at Scripture and trying to understand who God is. And I wrestled with this for a while, and I'm going to offer you maybe what I think is an explanation that agrees with Scripture, and it's this. I think God is more interested in a relationship with us than just getting the mission accomplished. I think God is more interested in a relationship with us than just getting the mission accomplished. God was in relationship with Moses. God wants to be in relationship with you. So much so that he sent Jesus, his own son, so that you could be in relationship with God. Could God have gotten the Israelites water without Moses? Yes. God is all powerful. God did not need Moses to provide water. They could have woken up the next day just like manna came from heaven. They could have woken up and there could have been water there. God is that powerful. Yet, God chose to do this with Moses. There is something about God that likes doing things with us, people. He loves being in relationship with us. It's a beautiful thing when we can listen and hear God, that we have a God of a universe, God of wonders, that actually wants to speak to us. Okay, I'm going to ask a question. If you are here and you're like with a husband, wife, wives, I'm going to warn you. Do not look at your husbands when I ask this question, okay? If you are here, you're a parent with your kids. Do not look at your kids when I ask this question. Husbands, do not look at your wife. Like, I need you all, if you don't want to fight in your car on the way home, I need you to just look straight ahead, keep a straight face, okay? Here's the question. Kids, don't look at your parents. Just warning you. Have you ever been in a relationship with someone who doesn't listen to you? Stay here. Stay right here. No, raise hand. I mean, that defeats the purpose. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. I can provide some counseling afterwards before you take that right. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, there you go. That was a confession. Okay, good. That's better. Have you ever been in that kind of relationship where someone's talking, you might hear it, but they're not listening? They're not listening. I have a 10-year-old and 8-year-old. I know what it's like being in relationship with people, little people that don't listen, right? My wife's not here, so she can't raise her hand. Thank you, Lord. We all know relationships are almost impossible if we don't listen to one another. And yet, how often do we listen to God? Like, take time to hear God. See, the beautiful thing about this story is Moses listened to God. He actually went both times and like, okay, you guys are all mad at me. You're going to kill me. I'm going to go see what God has to say about this. Isn't that a beautiful thing? God has had a mission for Moses, and that was to get water out of this rock and lead people to the promised land. We have a different mission that God's been given to us, and I know you guys have been using Acts 1:8. The other passage that I was going to bring up is Matthew 28:18, the great commission that Jesus gives his disciples after his resurrection. Therefore, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the names of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And listen, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Even in that passage, Jesus wanted to know he is with us. He cares about relationship with us. He doesn't just want us to go and do the mission on our own. He wants to be with you, with us. So what I get to do with my job is help start new churches. And at some point, someone started this church, and I get to go all around and help do this. And the posture that I think is so essential for a potential church planter is this. They need to listen to God, to the call that God has on their life, so that they don't like go and do their own thing. They need to listen. They need to discern what God is saying. That means they need to, let's make sure before you like throw your whole life into a church plant, which is really hard and oftentimes like unsuccessful. Before you do that, let's make sure together that God is calling you to that. And then once we've listened and once we've discerned, we say, yes, go do it. And we recklessly obey God in that moment. And so let me tell you about a couple of our church plants and how that has played out. One is just not too far from here in Anoka, and it's called Compassion Church, and they're probably just finishing up their service right now. Pastor Rob came to me, and this is a few years ago, and Rob is like the classic entrepreneurial type of person. He wants to start 10 things all at once. He's like that guy. And so Rob and I were having lunch, and he was telling me that he has this idea that he feels like he's heard God, and God's supposed to, like, wants him to plant a church that's connected to the homeless population that also has a business as a coffee shop, and all three of those things are supposed to be part of the church. And I'm like, my first reaction is like, this is crazy. Those things don't go together, right? Like, but he was like so sure. He's like, I know God's calling me to this. So we spent about a year discerning together. Is this really what God wants you to do? And how could this work if it was what God wanted you to do? And you know what? He was hearing God correctly. And so today, Rob is, they've got a church plant in Anoka. Rob also works part-time at Stepping Stone Homeless Shelter. And God, is, actually, it was cool. This week, he just got a promotion, and his job is now to connect with churches and other groups in the community to how they can be connected to the homeless shelter. Isn't that a perfect thing for a pastor to be doing? Like, he's like, great, I know a church that wants to be connected. My church, this is awesome. And they bring people from the shelter to the church service every week. It's been a really beautiful partnership. And in the midst of that, they're starting a business. And right now, it's just a coffee cart. And it's a cart that they go to events. And they're hopefully going to use that to help train people coming out of homelessness, people who have experienced homelessness with job skills. And so the coffee cart business is up and going. It's kind of amazing when you see all of that years later. But it really started with this simple thing of like, I'm listening to God. God, what do you want me to do with my life? Discerning, like, is this really from God, or is this just me wanting to like do something? And then recklessly obeying what God has called. I was just in Rugby, North Dakota 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, a few weeks ago. My weeks are kind of, you know, summer, it's like, what's a week, you know? Have any of you ever been to Rugby, North Dakota? Look at this. Both services had rugby representation. Small town up in North Dakota. Our pastor there, Gary, he was a hospital chaplain. He is running a hospital chaplaincy. He's in his early 70s, and he just saw a lot of people experiencing grief and loss. And he's like, God, what do you want me to do? I'm going to start a grief share program. It's a 12-week study to help people work through grief. So he started this grief share program with a group of people, and they came, and it was this beautiful thing. And then they got to the end of the grief share thing, and they said, well, Chaplain Gary, what are we going to do next? And Gary's like, oh, okay. So he decided on another Bible study. So he got another Bible study out, and they worked through that for the next 3 months. And then they said, well, Chaplain Gary, what are we going to do next? And it's at that point he called me, and he said, Kyle, I think I accidentally planted a church. And I said, that's the best kind of church plant, is when we accidentally plant them by obeying Jesus in these small ways, and all of a sudden there's a church there. About 50 people gather on the average Sunday morning. They have a little storefront right in downtown, Christ Community Church. Yeah, he's my oldest church planter. He's in his 70s. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Started with listening. God, what do you want me to do? You want me to start this grief share problem? This is good. Okay, discern it. Is this what I'm supposed to do? Yes. And then he did it. He followed through. You'll have Shelly Krott here in a few weeks talking about Envision, but her and her husband are planting Mosaic Church in St. Paul, and they just were so burdened for a neighborhood in St. Paul, in the Midway neighborhood, kind of right off of Snelling and University, and they moved in. And their church planting strategy is pretty simple. They are prayer walking their way to a church plant. They walk around and they pray, and they have divine encounters with people. And it's an amazing thing. And then on Monday nights, they have big community parties all summer long. It's great. They blow up a bounce house, and everybody comes. And they pray, and they walk, and they discern. They listen to God. They said, God, where do you want me to be? We discerned it. They obeyed. Same is happening. We have 7 Ethiopian churches we've had a hand in launching. It's been a real mighty move of God, seeing those churches. I get to go to one tonight, having their anniversary in Apple Valley. And it's been just a great thrill to see God moving amongst those people. I could go on and on and on, but do you see a theme of what's happening here? It's people who are listening, discerning, and then obeying. And we saw that in that first text with Moses. He listened, they discerned together with the elders and that whole group, and then he obeyed. The second time they listened, they discerned, and then he disobeyed. The main reason that we plant new churches is because people have heard God's call. People have heard God's call, and God said, do this, and we discerned it, and so we have to be obedient. That's why we do it. Here's what happens to most of us most of the time when it comes to our spiritual life. The first thing that we do is we don't listen. Just like I told you to look straight ahead. Sometimes, even with God, we don't listen. We don't take time to listen. Our relationship with God becomes this kind of checkbox of things we're supposed to do. And as long as enough checkboxes are clicked, we feel like we're doing it. But we haven't actually taken time to say, God, today, this week, what do you want me to do to advance your mission? What do you want me to do this week? Who do you want me to call? Who do you want me to encourage? We don't even listen. We don't take time to listen. The second thing we do is we don't always discern. Now, I'm this way. Are there any of you that like move too fast on things? I mean, I'm a church planting person. I get ahead of myself. Like you're entrepreneurial kind of type people. Like I might, so for me, it's like I hear something and I'm already like doing it. Like I need to take time and discern. Like, God, is this really from you or is this just indigestion or like what's going on in me? We don't always hear correctly, right? And so some of us move too fast in the discernment. Some of us, how many of you are like the slow discerners? Anybody? Can I get some hands? I get some smiles. Slow. It's like, okay, God, you told me this. I need 10 people to come up to me to confirm this. And then maybe a year from now, I will be obedient to what you called me to. Anybody can relate to that? God, I'm going to just keep throwing this fleece out. Yeah, oh, sure. It seems like you're calling me to that. But one more confirmation would be nice. And so there's one more. So there's some slow discerners, right? So we get it wrong sometimes that we don't take that step in discernment or we take way too long in discerning. The last one's the worst one. We know what God's called us to do. You know it. You've discerned it. Other people are confirming it in your life. And you just choose not to do it. And you just say, like, maybe by stalling, maybe by just disobedience. And we just, like, the call is too hard. That's too hard for me to say that, to reach out that way, to do that. It's just too hard. So there's always another chance, right? God always gives us a second chance and a third chance to be obedient and follow him. And so my call to you as a church is to do this, both personally and together. Listen. Take time to listen to God. Listen to his voice. Listen to his word. Pray. Not just giving him the list, but listen. Discern. God speaks to you. Don't just assume you got it right, but say, somebody, pull aside your spouse. Pull aside someone in your small group. That's what I feel like God's saying to me. Can you speak into this? And then the last thing is take that risk and do it. Do it. Some of our most crazy church plants are just by people who said to do it. So one of them I didn't mention before is in just south of Sioux Falls. And it was in this little town of Centerville, and a town of about 900 people. And there was a small group there of people who went to some churches north, some south, but there was no evangelical church in their town. And they met as a small group of farm families. And they're like, we need to do something for the youth in our neighborhood. We need to do something for this town. What should we do? And they started discerning together. And they said, we are supposed to start a coffee shop. It's a place to gather. And we can do our small group there. And we can invite people in. And so we started on this path in Centerville, South Dakota, to open a coffee shop. And they got a place right on the main street. And there's a really interesting donut shop there, actually. So if you're ever there, get a donut. And then they said, well, what's the process of planting a church here? I said, well, multiply your small group. Like, make it from one small group to multiple. So I kind of just, it was like the beginning of the pandemic, and I didn't hear from them for a while. And then finally I got an email, and they're like, yeah, there's 50 of us in Bible studies weekly. They're like, so when can we start the church plant? I was like, congratulations, you've already planted the church. Like, you don't have a Sunday gathering yet, but you've already done it. And so they rented the American Legion building on Sundays. They didn't have a church building to rent. So the American Legion, a half a block away from the coffee shop, and they don't have a pastor still. Usually we like to plant churches with a pastor. That's usually a prerequisite. But in this case, we didn't have one. So they streamed in a message from the closest Alliance church just south of there that had been really instrumental in getting this started. And they led worship live there. And And then that grew, and finally we did have a pastor who got called. There's over 100 people probably there this morning. That's about what they average in a town of 900 worshiping together. All because a group of farm families listened to the Lord. And if I were to ask, and I actually remember very distinctly sitting at one of their houses, and they said, well, when are you going to send us a pastor? And I said, I'm sorry, I don't have a list of church planting pastors who want to come to Centerville, South Dakota. I don't have that in my Rolodex. But if God calls you to do this, there's nothing. I will empower you in every way and train you in every way. There is no reason you can't do this, that God can't use you to do this. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. All right, I'm going to tell you about my friend Eileen, and this is her stick. Isn't this cool? I have a staff. I'm talking about Moses. So Eileen's a retired CMA missionary. She's 96 years old. And she was part of our church plant, and I was cleaning out. She was moving from her assisted living apartment into a nursing care. She had some health things. And so I walked in. I was working on this sermon all week, and I walked in, and the people there is the last load, and they said, this is the last things. And they said, I think we're supposed to give you this. And I was like, yes, you are. I've been thinking about Moses and the rock all week. You are supposed to give me this. My wife hates it if I collect too much junk. She like wants to purge everything out of the house. I was like, I don't care. I am taking Eileen's stick. I need this. I'm talking about Moses and the rocks. So this is Eileen's stick. Let me tell you about Eileen. Eileen grew up in St. Paul. She's 96 right now. Eileen grew up, her family wasn't Christian. Her mom died at a young age. She had health difficulties. She spent a lot of her growing up years in a hospital. Her dad would come pick her up on Saturdays and take her to Como Park. And eventually she kind of grew out of some of those health difficulties, and she would walk by the old Simpson Memorial Church, kind of right where Jerry and Shelley are planting and Snelling and University, and she would walk by, and eventually she started going in and listening to the sermon. Sunday nights, I think. She'd go in, and eventually she decided to give her life to Jesus. And she was gone to school to be a teacher, and she felt pretty early that she was supposed to be a missionary teacher, and she ended up going to Gabon, West Africa. And she taught there for decades. And Eileen, so like, it's cool to think about missionaries now, but when you hear her stories, it's like a different thing. Because for her, that meant she packed all of her belongings into a barrel. And then they packed that barrel onto a French boat that she like took a boat across the ocean and would be there and was never quite sure if she'd get to come back. Eileen never married. She's kind of like our grandma. She's like a bonus grandma for our kids. Eileen's kind of part of our family at this point. Can I tell you the most amazing thing about Eileen? Well, a couple things. She's like this tall. So this stick is way more intimidating. It'd be like if I had a stick that was this tall, you'd be like, that's a Moses stick. For her, though, carrying this stick is like that. She told me when I first met her, call me Shorty. And I was like, there's no way I'm calling you Shorty. She's like, everyone calls me Shorty. I'm like, no, you are Miss Eileen. Like, can't call a saint Shorty. You know what I mean? Like, it's just wrong. Whenever she hangs up the phone, whenever she's done talking to you, this is what she says. Over and out, click. Like, you never quite know when she's just done talking. You might not be done, but if she's done, over and out, bam. Which I was like, that is a great way to end a phone call, isn't it? Just boom. Eileen was the most terribly shy child and is still a terribly shy person. She would rather not publicly talk to anybody. She actually still would rather just be alone in her room. She's so shy. She's very fine. And some of that was from her years in the hospital. She grew up very alone. And she told me, for when I knew God was calling me to be a missionary and a teacher, I knew that God had to get me over this debilitating shyness. I had to work through that. She did not think she would be the one that would ever be called to do something like this because she was so shy. And yet, she listened to God's voice. God said, go. She discerned it with people. They said, yep, you're called. And she went. And she lived a life of obedience that has a trail of God's kingdom left behind her. A amazing woman. She can do that. Why can't you? Why can't you listen to God's voice? God call you to something new, something exciting, to get out of your rut. Might God want to call you to that today? I don't know what that is. So I'm going to lead us in just a time of listening to God's voice. And some of you might think, oh no, that's weird. It should be the least weird thing we do, is just to have a moment of silence. And what I'm going to invite you to do is to ask God this question. God, how do you want to use me to advance your kingdom this week? God, how do you want to use me to advance your kingdom this week? And when I say listen to God's voice, there's a couple things that you pay attention to. Some of you might hear like the audible voice, oh, God, I am God. Okay, great. I've never had that happen. If that happens to you, tell me about it. I'd love to hear about it. I know God still speaks that way. There's other ways God sometimes speaks. When you ask God that, there might be like a relationship that pops into your head, or a person. Huh. Why did that person pop into my head? There might be like a situation that you've been wrestling with. Why did that situation pop into my head? There might be something else. I don't want to like limit what God might say he wants to use you for to advance his kingdom. But we just listen, and we ask the question, and we make room to hear God's voice. And maybe God won't speak, and maybe you won't be able to turn your mind off enough from like your lunch plans to hear God's voice. And if that's the case, guess what? He's infinite. You can ask him later, and you can keep asking and seeking. So find a comfortable position. For some of you, closing your eyes might be the most comfortable. Some of you, eyes open, you know, that's fine. And we're going to take 1 minute of silence, and we're just going to ask God, God, how do you want to use me to advance your kingdom this week? Holy Spirit, speak to us. We want to be about your kingdom. We want to be obedient to you. So speak to us now. Let's pray. Amen. Amen. Now maybe God spoke to you. I did this prayer exercise when I was up in Rugby, North Dakota, and there's a older lady who lives on a hobby farm, and I found out later, she felt like God told her, you're supposed to go buy 50 chicks this week and raise them so we can give away 50 chickens at our Christmas outreach. I was like, that's amazing. Isn't it amazing God speaks to her culture and what she has and what she's able to do? If God told me to raise 50 chickens, I'd be like, they're not going to make it. I don't have a chance. But she's a hobby farm, and she's got space, and so she's going to raise these chickens. It's awesome. What did God say to you? If God spoke to you, if you felt like something, you know, the next step isn't to just do it. The next step is to discern it. Talk to your spouse, talk to a friend, talk to somebody before you leave today. Hey, I felt like God was pulling me this direction. What do you think that is? Can you see that in me? Is this the right time for that? Is this what God's asking me to do? Discern it. And then the last thing is do it. Go for it. Take the risk, make the call, send the message, go for it. Go for it. Don't wait. Make it happen. If God's calling you, he is with you. He will deliver you. God can make water come out of a rock. God could have made water come out of a rock by a voice. Don't you think God can use you this week to do it? And you know, I told you a lot of stories of some ordinary people. Maybe you'll just end up planting a church. You know, you never know. And Pastor Jeff told me in the first service, I can say that. Like, if you get called to do that, we will do it. Not I'm not stealing people, we're sending people. Yes. There he is. I was looking for him. Yes. Because God wants more. He wants to do more and more. I love that guy back there. He's been such an encouragement. So thanks, Pastor Jeff, for letting me come and speak. He's been on our district executive team, so he knows all of our church planting stories, and he's been just a really great encouragement. Yeah. Yeah. So let me close in prayer. Worship team is going to come on up and sing a song that really goes with what we just prayed. So God, continue to speak to us, even as we sing this last song. Speak to us about who we should be reaching out for, to what we should be doing to advance your kingdom this week. Because Jesus, we just want what you told us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so use us, Jesus. We want that thing that you told us to pray for. Thank you for Gateway Church. Thanks for getting to be here today. We bless you, Lord Jesus. Amen.